Okay, friends. Okay. 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 So, thank you so much for coming along. For those who are visitors here this morning, we have been in the book of Acts for most of this year, and we're up to about verse 15 of chapter 1. And last time I spoke, which was a couple of weeks ago, we were actually looking at verse 15, and I feel to still stay there. That's why it's taking so long to get through this book. So if you have your Bibles, anyone like a Bible, by the way? We've got some, there's a few hands going up. Anyone else like a Bible? One of the reasons why I don't put scripture up on the overhead is because they did a sociological survey, and they noticed that since scriptures have been going over on the overhead, no one now brings Bibles. So that's why I don't put it up on overhead, so we can bring Bibles. It's good to bring your own Bible. Really, really is. Okay, here we go. Acts chapter 1. And I've got a few stories this morning I want to share, because we've got these wonderful people here in these front three rows. So, but Acts chapter 1 and verse 15, and it says this. It says, in those days, Peter stood up. And 2 weeks ago, I talked about how Peter used to be a guy who used to run away and hide in a corner. And yet here, this guy is standing up. So he must have changed. And I love it when people change. I love it when I change. Most of you are thinking, yes, we'd like it when you change too, Mick. I couldn't resist that. I think change, life change, is a gift. It's scary at times, but it is great when it occurs. And so this guy, Peter, he changed. And I'm still intrigued as to why did he change? How did this occur? So this is where we're going this morning. I did something on that topic 2 weeks ago or thereabouts. I want to approach it from a different angle this morning, okay? And then next Sunday morning, I want us to look at the tricky part about Judas. Okay? So that is next Sunday morning. Very tricky. But good. Okay? So, could you pray with me? Let's pray. Our God, you are our teacher. And we come to you now. And we don't come to examine your book. We ask that you, by your Spirit, with this book, would examine us. May our hearts be open to what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to us this Sunday. And we pray this in your name. Amen. Amen. I have a question. Who here likes to pretend? Hands. I mean, I personally think that pretending can be a blast. Is that right? Pretending, actually, can be a lot of fun. Now, I don't know if I've told you this story, but I want to share a story. When Ruby's and our kids were smaller, we had a holiday in Australia. And it was at a time when it fell on this a day when it was my responsibility to look after our kids. Ruby wanted a bit of time to herself, so she hid in the corner, and basically I picked up the thing with our kids. So I thought, what are we going to do today? You know, our kids were small, so I thought I would create a pretending game. So I got a bit of paper, A4 size. I quickly got some coloured pens. Have I told this? Got some coloured pens, and I drew a map. I took this map outside that I just created, a treasure map, and I put it in the soil, and I scrambled it all up so it looked really old. And then I said to the kids, there were three of them, come on, let's go for a walk. So we all walked around this house. And then I said, hey, look, what's that down there? And so we looked closer. And sure enough, I think it was our boy, he saw this treasure map. So he picked it up and I said, what is it? So he unraveled this thing that, you know, looked dirty, but there was kind of a map on it. And he said, it's got the word treasure on it. And his eyes went like saucers, you know. And he says, it's a treasure map, you know. So I said, well, we better follow it. Now, all the while, well, I won't get to that part yet. So I said, let's follow it. So we followed here, went there, went over there, and it finally led to the lake. So we got down to the side of the lake, and I said, what does the map say now we have to do? And the treasure map said, we've got to get to that island over there, because there was this man-made island in the middle of this lake. Fortunately, there were some kayaks. So we jumped into the kayaks, the four of us. We went over, we paddled over, this, you know, got to this little island. And then I said, what does the map now say? So go through this island, through the trees. The island would be about as big as this building. So we're sort of walking across, over and through, you know, all over the place. And then when the kids were not looking, I had a bag specially prepared. And it had a whole lot of our foreign coins, you know, because we did a lot of traveling. So I had all these foreign coins in the bag. So when they weren't looking, I just quickly dropped it and next to a tree and, you know, got some leaves like this, you see. And then I said, oh, kids, I think the... And so we came over here and look at that bag. Now, Tom picked up my son. Picked up this bag. You know, for years and years and years, he didn't let go of that bag. And he just couldn't, just treasure. Absolute treasure. It was just a blast. Such a lot of fun, you know. So, I mean, I reckon pretending can be fun. Pretending can also be a bit dangerous. 2 weeks later, we got a fax. Those were the days of faxes. We got a fax from the owner of the property. And he said this, he said, because we, by this time, we were back up living in the Philippines. Because we went to have a holiday there prior to going back up. And this was in Australia. He says, oh, by the way, I saw you go over to the island, so I thought I'd better go and check it out. I went over to the island and there were three python snakes. He said, they were huge. And of course, it was the island was the only the size of this building. You know, so yeah, pretending can be dangerous. Does God pretend? Does God pretend? Tell the person next to you. Does God pretend? Okay, guys, does God pretend? Eh? Tell me, does God pretend?
No.
Boy, does God pretend? Anyone going to give a yes? I'm going to say yes. You're going to say yes. A bit of a punt there. Okay, you got a yes. Anyone else on yes? Di, what's your support for that? Yes, good. Got that. God sends angels as people, yeah. And Robert, you're going to say yes? Yes. Yeah. Yes. Or it could be actually him changing his mind. Yeah, okay. So come with me to Genesis, would you? Come with me to Genesis chapter 3. Okay, Genesis chapter 3. And there is one verse here I want to draw your attention to. Does God pretend? Do you guys like pretending? You guys like pretending? Yeah, you're not too sure? Pretending can be fun. Here we go. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 10, and it goes like this. Actually, we'll pick it up in verse verse 9 and see, God is walking in the garden, out back, in the garden, and he's, and the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?" And then he answered, "I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid." But verse 9 says, "But the Lord God called to the man," what did he say? "Where are you?" Now, people, listen to this. Of course, this is God. And he doesn't get confused. God has no problems locating things, not even keys. Are you with me? And so there seems to be a pretending game going on in the garden. In other words, God knows where Adam and Eve are. Is that right? So there's a kind of a pretending thing going on here in the garden. And I kind of think at a deeper, deeper level, so God does pretend at times, but at a deeper level in this passage, you know, God allows Adam to hide. And I thought I might say this morning as a bit of an aside, do you know that God allows human beings to hide if they want to? God allows human beings to hide from him if they want to. God will not force himself openly on anyone if they don't want to be with him. At least not in this life. Did you get that? If a person wants to hide, God lets them hide. At least in this life. But in the next life, there will come a day, on that final day, when we will all have to stand before him openly. But at least in this life, if a person, if you want to hide from him, he will let you hide. But the point I want to make right now is that God does pretend. So sometimes pretending can be good. If God can do it, we can do it. But sometimes pretending gets us into a pickle. Did you read the Herald last week? You read the newspaper? Did you read last week about a guy called Alexander Doniger? Fascinating. Alexander Doniger married. He has twin boys, age 7. Two little boys, age 7, right? And the two little boys, this is in Austria, true story, two little boys pester their dad. And they say, "Come on, Dad, we want to go fishing. You've never taken us fishing. We want to go fishing." And Alexander Doniger, he's not into fishing, but for the sake of his two little boys, he says, "Okay, let's go fishing." So before they go out, he gets his wife to do something. He says to his wife, "Go to the supermarket and buy a fish." This is a true story. So his wife goes to the fish. Unfortunately, there are not whole fish. So what she does is she buys two fillets. So it's already been filleted, it's already clean, but that's all she can buy. So she gives Alexander two pieces of filleted fish, okay? So he gets the boys, they hop in the car, they're heading off down the road, they go to a lake. They park the car beside the lake, they get out, and they start fishing from the side of the lake. A passerby on a cycle, on a, what do you call those things? Push bike. He comes along, watches this little family fishing, and so sits down with them. And then the father knew that sooner or later the boys would get bored. And they did. So they got distracted, and while they were being distracted, what the father did was he put the two fillets. They were still frozen. He put the two fillets. This was in the Herald. He put the fillets on a fish hook and then cast out while the boys were being distracted. And then he said to the boys, "I've got something. I've got something." And he reeled this thing in, hey. And believe it or not, the boys were still persuaded that he had caught a fish, you know. And so then the cyclist, he took off and he informed on the dad, because the lake was a privately owned lake and no one was meant to fish at that particular lake. And so get this, Alexander Doniger today
is facing a court charge. And the penalty, did you not read this? The penalty is either 6 months in prison or paying a year's wages. So my point this morning is that pretending can get you in a pickle, okay? So pretending is good, but it can get you in a pickle. But on a more serious note, it goes like this. There's something about pretending that is problematic also. Pretending can create serious problems in our lives. So, another little story. Do you like stories? Another little story. A man, it was a man, and he needed a job. So he sees a workers wanted sign at the local zoo. So he turns up to the zoo and he said, "Oh, you're advertising for workers. I'd like a job." So the manager of the zoo says to this guy, "Well, actually, what we're needing is a gorilla." And the man said, "Well, what do you mean?" And the manager said, "Well, look, we'll dress you up as a gorilla. And all you have to do when all the kiddies arrive at the zoo is act like a gorilla. You know, pretend that you're a gorilla. So we've got this really real-looking gorilla suit." So the guy thought, "Well, you know, I wasn't brought up to be a gorilla, but I'm prepared to be a gorilla to get a job." So he put this suit on, this kind of real gorilla outfit, and then day after day, he would stay in the gorilla cage and act like a gorilla. After a while, he rather liked it. And he started to move with ease and swing and move around. And then he got really adventurous and he climbed the tree and he would swing away, this gorilla. He would swing away, and one day he got so enthusiastic as he was swinging. He swung way and lost his grip and went over his side of the cage into the cage that was next door to his cage where the lion was. And there he was, lying on the ground in his suit. And then this lion jumped on him. And he could feel the hot breath of the lion on his face. And at this point, he got really, really scared. And in his desperation, he started this gorilla to speak in English. So he yelled out, "Help! Help!" And the crowd thought, "Wow, the gorilla is..." And then as he was yelling out, "Help! Help!" he heard a voice from the lion's mouth. And the voice from the lion's mouth said, "Shut up, you idiot, I'll lose my job as well." Whoa. To be a teacher, you've got to really try hard. The point of that little parable, the point of the parable is, at times all of us wear masks, don't we? Is that right? And this is where pretending can become a problem. Now, I know that there are some of us, I don't know who, but I know that there are some of us here today, and we're wearing masks. I mean, in any group that happens. So I'm not looking at anyone in particular. But we all wear masks. I mean, there might be someone here this morning and you're pretending to be really happy, but actually you carry a searing heartache. And most days you wake up very, very sad. But you pretend to be happy. You've got a mask on. There might be some here this morning, I don't know. And, you know, you pretend that you're really spiritually healthy. But all the while, deep down, you know that there's a huge chasm, a huge distance, a huge gap between you and God. And there may be some of us this morning, and we're pretending that we've got the perfect marriage. But actually, all the while, we know that there's something hollow and that our marriage has begun to die, actually. And see, the question I have with all of us, me included, is that if we are wearing a mask, pretending, have we acknowledged this to God? To another person? Even to ourselves? That we're kind of wearing this mask? Because if we haven't, masks that stay on keep us in the cage. Masks that stay on keep us in prison. So what's the way out of the cage? Come with me to John 21. Okay, John 21. And we're going to finish with this. John 21. And again, I referred to this 3 weeks ago or 2 weeks ago. Slightly different angle. Could we read verse 1 following? Okay, John 21. Afterwards, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, and it happened this way. Now, Simon, Peter, Thomas, Nathanael, from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, the two other disciples were together. I'm going out to fish, Simon Peter told them, and they said, hey, we'll go with you. So they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Zip, zero, nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. So he called out to them, friends, have you any fish? No, they answered, not even frozen ones that had been freshly filleted. And he said, throw your net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some. And when they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, hey, it's the Lord. And as soon as Simon Peter heard him say, it is the Lord, he wrapped his outer garment around him. Isn't it interesting in our culture we'd take our garments off if you're going to jump into the water? But he put his garment on. Which, you know, when we're in the Philippines, actually, that's what people did. They left their garments on to swim in public places. You know, when there are other people around. It's interesting, isn't it? Anyway, that's an aside. It is the Lord, he wrapped it, and he wrapped his outer garment around him, and he jumped into the water. And the other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from shore, about 100 yards. And when they landed, they saw a fire burning, and there was a barbie with a fish on it, and there was also some freshly baked bread. And Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish you have just caught. And Simon Peter climbed aboard and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153 actually. But even with so many, the net was not torn. And Jesus said to them, come and have brekkie. Now none of the disciples dared ask him, who are you? They knew it was the Lord. And Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus appeared to his disciples after he had been raised from the dead. Huge, huge deal. Now, when they had finished eating, verse 15, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these? Yes, Lord, he said, you know that I love you. And Jesus said, feed my lambs. And again Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me? And he answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. I'm not pretending. And Jesus said, take care of my sheep. The third time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And Peter was hurt because Jesus had asked him the third time, do you love me? And he said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Here's the thing, people. You see, Peter and Jesus were having a barbie. They were having brekkie together. And they just finished eating. And they were both standing together beside the fire. You know how it is? Just the two of them. And you know what it's like? There's just the two of you and there's this silence. that the silence with Jesus and Peter was a strange silence, because both of them knew that there was something between them that was not good. Both of them knew that something had happened in the past that stood between them. Peter had denied Jesus 3 times, had counted Jesus as nothing in public view. And Jesus would have been hurt by that. And Peter was hurt too. So there was something between them. Now here's the thing. What does Jesus do? Does he pretend? Ah, you know, she'll be right. No worries, mate. Does he pretend? I mean, does Jesus, do they both put on a mask? And like carry on as though nothing has happened? No. Do you know what Jesus does? He brings it out into the open. Brings it out into the open. And I have one thing to say this morning, and this is what I felt the Spirit of the Lord is wanting to say to us as a church this morning, and to you guys. Is that okay? And it's this, and it's really good. What Jesus would say to us this morning is this. Now listen, listen up, people. He would say, if you have secrets, if you have hurts, if you take off your masks, no matter what is underneath, I will love you and not turn away from you. That's what Jesus would say. Did you like that? If you have secrets, if you have hurts, if you take off your masks, no matter what's underneath, I will love you and I will not turn away. Do you like that? That's what Jesus would say. So I can't think. I mean, we should just worship this Jesus. He's so good. Dave, let's do that. Yeah.